welcome everybody to another edition of the Thunder Boys podcast. Not great to read and talk at the same time. It's very hard. It's difficult. I'm Eric Horn. I'm here with Maddie Lee and our awesome intern, Hallie Hart.
On Hallie's debut podcast, that's how you introduce it? With you reading?
This is what happened too. And as I say this, I turned the computer toward Maddie over here, and I can't concentrate because Steve Ballmer is just all over the screen. I cannot concentrate, man. It's like he's a force of nature. And if you all don't know, Steve Ballmer is the Clippers owner. He should be excited because he's got the best. I mean, two of the best two way players in the league, in Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. They were introduced today. And, Paul George said a lot of things that we've heard him say before, and he said some things that I thought were mildly interesting. But, overall, I just thought it was kind of a standard press conference, except for Steve Ballmer losing his damn mind.
But also that's just Steve Ballmer, so standard Ballmer time. I wanted more detail on their early conversations and what in those conversations got Paul to come over. I know that's a little bit sticky and whatnot, but that's what I wanted to get out of this press conference, and they did not talk at all about any conversations that they had before officially joining.
Hallie, any thoughts?
Yeah, I think Maddie makes a good point. First of all, I'll just say I'm really excited to be on the Thunder Buddies podcast for the first time. Thank you all for having me.
First time caller, long time. First time, long time. First time listener. Wait, long time listener, first time podcaster? I'll get it together eventually. I'm going to close this. All right.
Yeah, so I'm glad to be here. Lots to talk about, obviously. But I agree with Maddie. I think it would have been interesting to hear some more details as far as the early talks and stuff. And I know with a lot of press conferences like that, it's obviously going to be more PR type stuff. And Paul George was very professional, as always. But I would have liked to hear a few more details. I did think it was kind of interesting what Paul George said about the when he was asked about player empowerment, and as far as how he made it clear that, he didn't do anything out of the ordinary, I guess. Like, he worked with the front office with everything, so he clarified that. But other than that, there wasn't a lot that was really specific said, I guess.
No, that was the part that stood out to me. The player empowerment part, and shout out to Ramona Shelburne. Like, hell, you're right. Those press conferences are really, like, kind of – They're not like hard hitting settings. Like, it's usually kind of like the honeymoon period. It was the same thing with the Durant press conference when he went to Golden State. And you're not going to have a lot of the local writers like pounding these guys with a lot of difficult questions. That's how you get turned into a meme. Like when I asked Carmelo Anthony about, coming off the bench, and that wasn't even a difficult question. But like, you're not getting a lot of these digging, kind of trying to figure out detail, what went wrong kind of questions. It's more of like a, what does this mean to you to be able to come back home stuff that Paul answered several times. But that was interesting, him talking about how basically, and he used the words, time was up. But he said that he and the Thunder mutually agreed that the time was up and that it was time to do something different.
And he dug into the notion of he didn't think that he did anything wrong, which I thought was one of the most interesting parts. Because, obviously, I can't get inside his head, but you'd imagine that he's looking at what's happening with the Thunder and feeling like maybe a little twinge of guilt. He did what was best for him and his career, and I see nothing wrong with that. I'm more on the side of the player empowerment debate. Like, the owners have been controlling player movement for so long. I don't see anything wrong with players figuring out how to control that for themselves while they can, So, I thought that part was interesting. I think you have the whole full quote up there.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now, and I wonder if Paul goes about it the same way if the Thunder doesn't get back what they got back in the trade. Because, you know, you can talk about the mutual aspects of getting the deal done, but are you at peace with it if, you know, basically you leave for nothing? Or, and he wouldn't have been able to leave for nothing because he got traded, but if he got traded and they didn't get the haul that they got. Paul's done this twice now. I mean, this is the second time in his career that he's requested a trade, and it's also, you know, interestingly enough, the second time that the team that traded him has gotten back pretty good return. But at the time of the Indiana trade, you know, people were roasting Indiana for taking back what they did in Victor Oladipo and Domantas Sabonis. That didn't seem like a fair trade.
Being great for them,
right? And both of those guys are fantastic to the point to where some people question whether or not the Thunder should have made that trade for Paul George. But if you don't make that trade for Paul George, you don't get the opportunity to get as many draft picks as you got just now. You don't get Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. You don't get Danilo Gallinari. And, you know, again, you want to win when you have these players, and the Thunder failed to do that, at least at a championship level. But Paul George...
at a playoff level.
Well, I mean, if you want to be technical about it, they won 3 games with Paul George in the playoffs out of 12. But, the Thunder got back return. Indiana got back return. Whether or not it pays off for the Thunder remains to be seen, but I think Paul George can speak about these things with a little bit more positivity because the teams that he's left were given notice and they were given the opportunity to get return for what transpired.
And it wasn't an Anthony Davis Pelicans situation where even though they got back a bunch of young players and are able to start building around Zion – it was just a mess for
right.
half a season.
Yeah, yeah. And that's something that Paul and his representation has made a point to not do. They don't want to firebomb locker rooms. You know, Aaron Mintz went about it the same way with Indiana in that once the offseason hit, that's when the trade request came. Same thing with the Thunder. And the Thunder one came up a lot quicker because of the Kawhi situation. But... yeah, it's not like Paul George is out to destroy teams. They try to go about it the best way possible, but it still puts franchises in precarious situations. But this one afforded the Thunder to kind of hit reset because it was getting stale anyway. I mean, but remains to be seen whether or not they can turn it into something like of substance.
Yeah, I'll be really interested to see what happens with the Thunder in this kind of rebuilding phase. But yeah, I don't blame Paul George for the decision, which I know he said it was a mutual decision, but I don't blame him for going to LA, especially from a community that means a lot to him and obviously him going back home and everything. But like what Maddie said, along the lines of the player empowerment thing, I think that, I mean... yeah, I know they have to work with the front office, but I don't mind players making their own decisions because I think, I mean, it's just like any other job that somebody has. You'd want them to be happy and it be the right fit for them. And so I think when you look at NBA players, they've got to be in a place where they feel like they can thrive. And he mentioned as far as Doc Rivers and his coaching style, how he thought that'd be a good fit for him. So, I mean, I don't blame Paul George. Yeah, it's sad for Thunder fans, of course, to see him go. And then obviously Russell Westbrook. But I think if it's right for Paul George, then he should do it.
Yeah, and you know, like you were saying, Hallie, it's you want these guys to be content where they are, and the Thunder knew that Paul George was gonna. They didn't know until they knew, but they don't want to ever bring anybody back that's not going to be happy in the locker room. And even though he had a contract and all that stuff, you don't want guys playing out their contract generally disinterested in what they're getting into. So it's better to just move them on and try and. You know, recoup some kind of value for whatever you get from them.
A mutual is an interesting word, too, to use there, because that could mean, hey, we both were thinking about moving in different directions, or it could mean, hey, I brought this to them and was like, not really happy here, and they're like, okay, since you're not happy, we'll move you.
And Paul's got a way of making things sound great all the time, because he's just, like, such an agreeable dude.
Yeah, he, like... the biggest controversy that he had to deal with was Zion busting through one of his shoes, and he handled that like an absolute pro.
So, mutual, I mean, I don't think at the beginning of free agency, the Thunder sat down with Paul George and were like, hey, buddy, you want to get traded? But, like, no, once he comes to them with the request, then the Thunder is going to do what it has to do to accommodate him and not make it weird. I mean, the other part of it I thought that was mildly interesting was, you know, when Paul George was asked about, like, the appeal of the Clippers from last year and how that might have appealed to him wanting to go to the Clippers. You know, he talked a little bit about Kawhi Leonard and how Kawhi Leonard was originally drafted to Indiana, but he was traded on draft day to the Spurs, and they never got to play together.
And Paul was like, wait, that's my position.
That would have been a crazy thing if those guys actually ended up on the same team.
He legitimately said that. I'm not just, like, pretending that that's what he said. That's what he said in this press conference, yeah. That was what was going through his head.
Paul was not aware that there was a trade in place. But, look, these guys play the same position now, and it's not going to affect anything. The game has shifted, too, to where you're playing smaller now. So you can play either of those guys
as opposed to 20 spot. Oh, gosh. When was Kawhi? 2011?
Yeah, Kawhi was 2011, and Paul was, I think, the year before, yeah. 10. But, the game's changed so much that you can play all these guys together, and you just need as many wings as possible. And those are, I mean, the two best two-way wings in the league. But the quote was interesting when he was asked about the Clippers from last year, if there was anything that was appealing to that team or from that team that made him want to join, you know, the Clippers. And Paul goes, that was the biggest attraction with just how hard they play and Coach Doc Rivers honestly getting everything out of his players. That's such a special gift when a coach can grab you and you can see their connection on the court. Everybody was on the same page. Everybody was pulling for one another. There's a typo in the sentence. Awesome, Eric. And everybody elevated their games. To be a part of that camaraderie and to be a part of what they already had, then sprinkle in what we have to offer, that's what made it such an attractive spot for me to be in. Again, Paul's an extremely agreeable person, so he's going to say a lot of things that are going to make your quote, but that are going to fit the question that you ask, basically. But I do question, it does make me think about the Doc Rivers factor. Is Doc Rivers a guy that Paul George looked at as, this guy is going to make our team better with what he brings to the floor, as opposed to what Billy Donovan's done for the 2 years that I was with him in Oklahoma City?
Well, and it's hard to not look at that and look at the complete different trajectory of those two teams, right? The Clippers were not expected to do anything last season, and they come out and they give the Warriors a run for their money, as opposed to the Thunder, which was expected a lot of, and they just fizzled out at the end of the season. And I think everyone, if I was a basketball player, I would be intrigued by their run, especially at the end there. I think they caught the whole country's attention as they really stepped up to the plate and stepped into a position that none of us expected them to be in. So, yeah, that's attractive.
Yeah, for him to call it a special gift when a coach can you know, connect with players that way, you know, just from people I've talked to in the offseason, it just didn't seem like Billy Donovan had that kind of grip on players in terms of the respect, particularly from star players. And this goes back to the Kevin Durant stuff. This isn't just with Paul George or Russell Westbrook. And while those guys talked on the surface like Billy was a guy who they appreciated and they were on the same page with, at the end of the day, I don't know if they were. And going back to the Kevin Durant regime, Billy's first year, I think there was a disconnect between he and some of the star players. So Paul George might look at that as, I need somebody who's going to be a better coach on the floor for me, for Kawhi Leonard, for the players involved. And that's certainly a factor, I think. It's one thing to just say, okay, I'm going home, but what kind of situation are you getting yourself into? And Maddie, that's what you're talking about. You see the upside with the Clippers, not just with what they have on the court. But look, you got to remember, they lost players on the court as well. They had to give up Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and they had to give up Danilo Gallinari in order to get Paul George and Kawhi Leonard there. They lost some of their future that they're going to be able to put around Paul George and Kawhi Leonard by making this trade. So what you have to do is you have to lean on a coach that's going to be able to get you through that. And Doc Rivers showed that, you know, he has some of that. I mean, not some of that. He's won an NBA championship and he's had really deep connections with players over the years. So that had to be appealing to Paul George, and it's been appealing to a lot of players throughout the league. Hell, it's appealing to me. I enjoy talking to Doc Rivers. That guy is fantastic to talk
fans,
to.
Fans even here at the Peak enjoy talking to Doc Rivers. That's some of the most entertaining stuff during games is when he's going back and forth with fans. Yeah, he's but fun. On the Billy front, I mean, I think Dennis Schroeder addressed it the best in exit interviews this year, where he was talking about different coaching styles and how Billy really talks to his players and listens to his players, and that he's been in systems before where it was, you know, the complete opposite, where it's like, you know, this is how we're doing things, laying down the law. And there are pros and cons to both styles, with the, and you can lose players either way. But when you're the more sort of listen, like extreme listening, doors are open, this is a collaborative unit type of coach, the way that you lose players is if they start walking over you. And on the other end, I mean, we saw what happened to Chicago when they had coach come in and decide we're laying down the law, and everything just crumbled too. So it can go both ways, but Billy's on the listening end of the spectrum.
There's one thing you can't knock about. I mean, I think Doc Rivers has gotten flack in the past. Even with a championship in his belt, I think he's drawn criticism in the past. But, you know, coming off of this season he just came off of, Doc Rivers was, you know, kind of re-fortified his standing among NBA coaches in this season. You know, when they trade Tobias Harris, and then this team still goes to the playoffs and pushes the Warriors. But you got to remember, Doc Rivers has dealt with a lot of different personalities in his NBA career. He's dealt with Rajon Rondo, Kevin Garnett, Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, Clippers teams, and he's won 50 plus games with most of those teams. I think I went through the Chris Paul Clippers years. I think they won 50 plus games in a loaded Western Conference, maybe 5 or 6 times when Chris Paul was there. So it's a guy who knows how to deal with star personalities. He was a player himself, and I think that players see that, and there's a level of respect there. So that probably was appealing to Paul, and that's probably appealing to Kawhi Leonard too throughout the process of free agency. So, you know, that's something that the Thunder is going to need to think about too. I mean, did they make the right decision in bringing in Billy Donovan when Kevin Durant was going into his final year, when you have Russell Westbrook in his peak, when you're coming off of a coach in Scott Brooks who people question the level of, you know, respect and how much he was getting through the players, and how willing he was, you know, to make the changes necessary to get the most out of his players. This is where we pivot to Hallie, and we ask her, should Billy Donovan be fired? Go ahead, Hallie.
Oh, wow. Putting me on the spot for my first Thunder buddy. You don't have to answer that. Wow. That's okay. Okay. No, but really, just speaking on that topic, first of all, I do think Doc Rivers is a likable guy, and I think, like you said, he knows how to work with stars and everything, but not going to answer that risky question, but what I will speak on...
It's not that risky. if you say he should be fired, you're going to have a large swath of the Thunder Buddies podcast people who agree with you. And if you say he doesn't, if you say he shouldn't get fired, then you might get some emails or bad mentions, but you know, people might take it easy on you for the first time around. Just, you know, follow your heart, like I said earlier.
That's true. Yeah. Hazing Buddies.
Follow your heart podcast.
No, that's what...
That's right.
I think it is interesting, though, because I don't know if I can formulate a solid opinion on that right now, really, but it is when you talk about Doc Rivers and you talk about the strength that he has and what could appeal to Paul George. And we had the quote with Paul George talking about what attracted him to the Clippers. And as you mentioned, Doc Rivers, how Paul George said he gets everything out of his players that he can. It makes me wonder, when Paul George talks about those good things about the Clippers, are those things that Billy Donovan hasn't been able to do? Like, why was he drawn to the Clippers compared to staying with the Thunder? So that's something that I just think is kind of interesting about it, is maybe is that a leg up that Rivers would have over Donovan?
And the other part of that is he talked a lot about how playing on both sides is a lost art, and how he and Kawhi both are two-way guys, and that's how the Clippers are going to play, is really tough and really locking down on defense as well as offense. And the Thunder put a big emphasis on defense. Like, I think we should stray away from being like, this compliment that he gave means that he hates Russell Westbrook. That's not what that means.
Or that he hates the Thunder. I think that our natural inclination when someone goes somewhere new is to try and decode everything they say and take it as a slight to the place that he just left. Like, we've seen this happen time and time again. We try and take everything these guys say and turn it into a negative from their previous place of wherever they played or they stayed or whatever. Paul George opened the press conference by thanking the Thunder, by talking about all the good things about the Thunder. So you don't have to necessarily take it as he's talking about the positives of the Clippers as the negatives of the Thunder. But we've been around the team long enough to understand what they're about, what they do right, what they do wrong. Russell Westbrook doesn't play defense. Dennis Schroeder, not a very good defender. Even the young guys like Terrence Ferguson, Hamidou Diallo, those guys struggle to defend sometimes. A lot of times, Andre Robertson missed an entire year, and you don't know what you're going to be getting back in Andre Robertson. And he was a big reason Paul George was so good defensively his first year, because Andre Robertson on ball was phenomenal, and he can allow Paul George to sit on the backside and jump passing lanes. So when you look at that just as what you're coming back to, and you've seen the results 2 years in a row, you see the upside with another team playing with a guy like Patrick Beverley, playing with Kawhi Leonard, who is the best defender in the world.
Right. Lou Williams,
whatever. He can shoot it. but you've got three perimeter defenders now that are going to make up probably a top five defense in the league. Plus, you've got a better offense. So we can compliment the Clippers and it not be something that's a shot at the Thunder. When you just look at it on the surface, that he's going to a better team, a team with better tools, a better coach, and a better immediate future. The Thunder is pushing this back into 2026, 2025. And Paul George, probably wasn't going to be here that long anyway. He was probably going to leave after his contract ran out in a couple of years. So I think we can kind of separate those things and say, like, look, while the Clippers do things great, that's not that the Thunder did everything wrong, because I think Paul George enjoyed his time here, but he saw that there was an upside there that he couldn't pass up and an opportunity.
Right, yeah. I mean, I think that makes sense. And definitely when you're focused on the positives of the Clippers, I think there's a lot of positive there. I'm really intrigued by that team and what they'll look like next season with Kawhi, Paul George, of course, some of their returning guys. One rookie they've had that I'm interested by is Landry Shamet. I think he has a great lot of
shooter.
Potential.
Great shooter.
I remember him playing at Wichita State when Wichita State came to OSU and being totally impressed by him then. And that was probably – that would have been my sophomore year? What season was that? I'm trying to think. It would have been probably his – yeah. I don't know what year that was, but anyway, he caught my attention.
You're getting old, Hallie. You can't remember. You're getting too far removed from college.
Already in college, 1 year left, and I can't even remember. But yeah, it would have been my sophomore year that happened. But I was intrigued by him to start with. So I think with guys like him, and then also bringing in guys like Kawhi and Paul George, I think that is going to be a good team to look at. And I do like what you're saying about, maybe there's not any negative with the Thunder. Maybe he didn't have any kind of problem with the Thunder, and maybe it was just for the Clippers. If you want me to come back to that question, I don't think.
Now, look, he obviously had some issue with the Thunder, according to reports. He and Russell Westbrook were concerned, or I'm trying to think of the word that was used, not disgruntled, discontent with the state of the Thunder. And look, some of these guys have to look inward when it comes to a lot of this stuff too. If Russell Westbrook was discontent with the state of the Thunder, there's plenty of things that the Thunder could be discontent with Russell Westbrook about. If Paul George was discontent with the state of the Thunder, not as many things you could be discontent with about Paul George, because he was one of the best defensive players and offensive players in the league. But that guy, he had some dud games too. Going back to last year's playoffs before against Utah, where I think he scored 6 or 9 points in a closeout game. There's some things that the Thunder could look at these guys at and be like, okay, look, you guys didn't exactly hold up y'all's end of the bargain in terms of getting out of the first round. We put a lot of money into this team and a lot of effort, and we got two dud first round performances in a row. Paul George injuries, Russell Westbrook injuries as well, those factor into it. But if there was any kind of discontent, I think that it kind of goes all the way around. It can't be one situation where like Paul George and Russell Westbrook are like, oh, you guys didn't do enough to, yo, they try and go get Wes Matthews and Wes Matthews signed somewhere else. Like, what else are you supposed to do? Were they supposed to trade Steven Adams? If Russell Westbrook walked into the Thunder's office tomorrow and was like, trade Steven Adams, they trade Steven Adams. But I find
tomorrow.
Some issues. Well, Russell Westbrook's not walking into the office tomorrow either. He's not walking into the office tomorrow. But look, I don't have any intimate knowledge as to whether or not they did do those things. Maybe they did. And they said, look, you've got to trade Steven Adams and Dennis Schroeder to go get us this. But you can also make the argument that, you know, a guy like Russell Westbrook wanted a guy like Carmelo Anthony in town. So Russell Westbrook wanting a Carmelo Anthony means that they go get that, and that's a guy who's playing over Jeremy Grant. So it's like we're constantly looking for people to attribute blame to, but I think this is like a collective problem that was going on in the franchise. Like, it's not – guys can be frustrated, but they have to look internally. Like, Billy Donovan can say, hey, guys need to take or make better shots, but he needs to look internally as like, how do I generate better shots for these guys? Create and generate, Billy Donovan. Trademark.
I'm talking to him too much. Pass 40.
I haven't had enough Billy Donovan, frankly, this summer. Yeah, there's a lot going on with the Thunder that goes beyond just putting blame in one person's lap. But hopefully Russell Westbrook and Paul George are happy going into this season, and they can play well. Why don't we pivot away for a second? Maddie, do you want to talk about the jerseys, because you did a great job with that over the past couple days. And if people out there don't know, the Thunder unveiled their jerseys for the upcoming season. And among them was one that Maddie wrote about at length that has ties to the Oklahoma City Memorial. And I mean, it's a massive deal because that the Thunder is connected to the Memorial, the Oklahoma City Memorial bombing memorial has a lot of connection to the city. And
2020, April 19th, 2020 is the 25th anniversary. So it's all aligned with that. So quick overview of all four jerseys. The sunset one's already leaked. It's basically the statement jerseys from last year, except for sunset instead of blue. And then you have the blue and white ones basically look the same, except for they changed which ones say Oklahoma City and which ones say Thunder and stuff like that. So the really exciting ones is the city jersey, and props to the Thunder. They've done an awesome job with their city jerseys of the last 2 years. Last year was the teal ones honoring Native American heritage, and that had a bunch of little tiny details throughout. And this year it's a similar thing where you have all these little details that you wouldn't know just like looking from the stands. So they're this dark gray with gold side panels that have the same gray going through the middle. So they're shaped like the gates of time that are in the memorial. One says 9:01, one says 9:03, and it's the minute before and the minute after the bombing, for the innocents before the attacks, and when they say the moment that healing began, as I think how the memorial phrases it. And so those timestamps are like hidden within the shorts and the little flap. They've got a ribbon on the back with some more quotes from the memorial. They've got the survivor tree on the belt, which is it's green, so it pops. And the conscience committee from the memorial conscience committee sounded like fought pretty hard to make sure that was front and center, and really was a centerpiece of the uniform. And that was the coolest part about this, is it's not just like the Thunder being like, here's a cute thing that we could do. They came and like went to the memorial and museum and proposed this to them, and they took it to the conscience committee, which is made up of family and survivors and first responders from the bombing. And they gave their approval every step of the way, both the conscience committee and the executive committee of the museum, which Presti is actually a board member and has been for the last 7 years.
A very involved one, apparently.
Yeah.
No, that. Yeah. I'm not going to be careful about what I'm saying. I love that they did it because it needed to be done. It's such an important part of the city's history. It was awesome. Like, just the little notes you were talking about, like the survivor tree and all of that. It's just fantastic. Like, and the Thunder's involvement with that is so important because they always bring players there. I mean, we've gotten to the point to where we bring people in who are prospective employees. We bring them to the Oklahoma City Memorial.
One of my first stops right before I got, or when I came in for my visit.
Yeah.
And Ryan was like, Ryan, our editor, was like, Thunder's been doing this forever, so we're doing it now too. It sounded like a good idea. We're
ripping off their ideas.
It was a good idea.
It's really a cool moving place to visit if you haven't been there, and I know a lot of people have, but people who listen to our podcast, you know, that are in other places, if you ever get a chance to come to Oklahoma City and see a Thunder game, make sure you go to the Memorial. It's really awesome. It's really well done.
The Memorial is beautiful, and I've gone to the museum, through the museum twice, and I've cried both times. It's really like, I like museums, but I was just expecting a run of the mill sort of like, oh, you know, I'm going to learn about this tragic event and it'll be very solemn, and it just hits you hard. It is a very emotional experience. So come emotionally prepared, but it's definitely worth your time.
Yeah, I agree with that. The room where they have, especially where you get to learn like who all the people were who were killed in the tragedy and everything, that, yeah, it's very emotional. And as far as these jerseys, I think it's a great thing for the Thunder to do. Very powerful, meaningful thing for them to do. And by the way, Maddie's stories about it, both of them were phenomenal. I enjoyed reading two of them in the paper today. So great coverage of that. And the thing that stood out to me was how they did work so closely with the Conscience Committee and really planned it, instead of, like you said, instead of just having it be a Thunder thing, it was involving them too. And for anyone who's especially grown up in Oklahoma, known about that, I think it's a very meaningful thing for them to do, and a class act move by the Thunder.
Were you born in 95?
I was not. I was born in 98. So that was before I was born. Of course, I've lived in Oklahoma my whole life, so I grew up knowing about it. And then I think it would have been a high school or junior high field trip that one of my classes or some group that I was in went to the memorial, and that was the first time I saw it. And it's really, yeah, I mean, you've seen it. It's very emotional, but it's a place that, I agree, I think everyone who is here in Oklahoma City and especially living here should go to for sure.
Okay, I can say it. I don't like the other jerseys. That one's excluded.
That one,
because,
honestly,
because
I
of
think,
the significance.
I think that
completely excluded.
Okay, even if we strip the significance, I think the gray ones look cool. The charcoal ones. I think the city ones look cool.
They're fine. I think they've had better aesthetics in terms of last year's lineup of jerseys. I thought was the best they've had in, excluding like Christmas edition jerseys, because they didn't have a Christmas edition jersey last year. They just had like the earned edition, which was the orange one. Last year's lineup of the two traditional jerseys, the blue and the white, the statement, which was the like the navy
blue with the stripes
with the,
on the
with
back
the, with the orange stripes.
No, the
and then,
the darker blue stripes, wasn't that the
well, it was
statement?
Like some orange kind of accents too. They're like,
yeah, orange accent
stripes. And then
definitely had darker blue stripes on the back.
I'm pretty sure there was like some orange going on in there too.
I believe it.
And then the Native American themed ones that were the turquoise. That was I thought that was the best Thunder jersey lineup. Those five were the best they've had in any year.
It was orange letters. The navy with the orange letters and then the lighter blue stripes was the statement.
Yeah, that's a great jersey.
I still like the sunsets the best. Left.
I wish they would have kept that statement jersey from last year, but
instead of the sunset statement,
it's Nike. They're just churning out jerseys every year.
And
this
I think
is,
they wanted,
the
and they that would make if they'd kept this one, they would have had to make their icon either leave that blue and have two different blue jerseys, or make that one sunset. Actually, that wouldn't have been a bad idea.
I thought last year's group was the best. This year, it just seems like something's a little off with every one of them. Like maybe the outline around the letters or the numbers is too thick, or something's just off about every single one of them. And I can't quite pinpoint what it is that bothers me about
them. I feel like a lot of them look very similar other than the statement ones. I think the Oklahoma City, because the blue ones used to have the full Oklahoma City, right?
Yeah.
And now it's not. And on the white ones, it says Oklahoma City, but they moved the city to the second line.
I think it was always.
Was always? Oh, gosh. Now I've forgotten.
You have a computer directly in front of you. Mine's dead. So, but there's just something off about these. Whether it's like the blue they're using inside the big OKC on the orange jersey now. There's just something about these new ones.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah. It's always been on the second line. But
it feels less crowded to me. I don't know.
But yeah, but now the blue one has Thunder instead of Oklahoma City, and now the white one has Oklahoma City, right? I think those are what the new ones look like. Anyway, just something about the new ones that are just not quite where I would have been fine if they ran it back with the ones from last year in terms of the blue and the white, and then do what they want with the other ones. But it's almost like it takes up too much of the chest almost for me. Or maybe, and some people like that. Some people like it.
Yeah, the Oklahoma City lettering looks like it's bigger. I always thought that the Oklahoma City on the blue ones looked too small. Honestly, these look very similar to me. Although we've now established how few of the details I actually remember from last year's jerseys. I like the sunset. They basically just added stripes to the sunsets from last year.
I think the inside lettering is a different shade of blue.
It might be lighter.
I think it's lighter. And it's really messing with me.
I do like, though, that this light shade on like the orange one matches the socks, because that drove me insane last year, because it was dark lettering on the sunset jerseys, which I thought looked really good, but then they kept the same color blue socks, which were just a completely different color blue. So I wanted darker socks, but they went the other way. And then everyone's complaining about the Loves patch, but like, guys, they spent a lot of money. They can do what they want with that patch.
I don't really care. Like, people grab around with the patch. I really don't care. You got to have something. If you're spending a bunch of money, it's got to be prominent. And they're getting
us to talk about it.
Right. There's Photoshops out there of a smaller Loves logo. Well, look, man.
Because they do have, like, Twitch. Who does? I think Twitch is the Lakers, and it's pretty small. But, like, if you're... The point of having a jersey patch is seeing, getting everyone to see it and notice it, and like, you know, it's.
I'm gonna be frank. Once they start running around and stuff, I don't really think about this stuff anymore. It's like they start running around and dunking and doing stuff, and people want to say, "Oh, they're 3-12 in this jersey, and they're 12-3 in that jersey." Like,
although when I was playing, I was very superstitious about that kind of stuff.
If that's the real reason the Thunder can't get out of the first round, then you know what? Maybe
I also wasn't very good, so yeah. I had to lean on my bow headband combination to get me there.
Yeah, I feel like the jersey stuff has less to do with wins and losses. Look, if the Thunder was going to the NBA Finals every year, nobody would give a crap about the jerseys. They'd just be like, oh yeah, I love that Loves patch. But the Loves patch happened to coincide with the Thunder playing like trash after the All-Star break. And that's really why people don't like it. That's really the issue. Which goes to the Twitter account that you showed me with the Loves patch. It's whenever they adopted the Loves patch, I don't know what the record is, but they did not have a great post All-Star break. I think they were like, what were they, like 12-13 after the All-Star break or something like that? Something awful. But and they just didn't play well. Even some of the games they won, they just didn't play particularly well. So jerseys, people are gonna gripe about them. Just don't buy them. That's pretty simple. Just don't buy the jerseys.
I never considered that Love's Patch trend of them playing worse when they had that. That's funny. The new jerseys, I mean, of course, I like the city ones. I like the meaning behind them. I'm going to disagree with Eric here. I like the statement ones this year. I think they're cool. I like the sunset. And I like
she goes to OSU.
I like the lettering too, though. It's not just the orange. I like the lettering on that one. The other ones, yeah. I mean, to me, the others are just the Thunder jerseys. There's not really that much to say about it.
I think they look the same. I know that there are tweaks. Like I've pointed out the tweaks, but like to me, they feel the same.
They don't look the same to me. They look a little. Like I said, there's like some little thing that's off about. I'm being redundant. Whatever. Do we have anything else we'd like to address on this podcast that has nothing to do with jerseys or Clippers introductory?
Coaches. We have assistant coaches.
Coaches have been hired. Some coaches have been promoted.
It's a lot of promotion from within.
Four of the five internal promotion. Another is coming back, Brian Keefe, who was instrumental in the development of a lot of the Thunder's young players in their first few years in the league. I think Brian Keefe spent 7 or 8 seasons in Oklahoma City. He had a close connection with Kevin Durant actually before he went to the Knicks when Derek Fisher was hired by the Knicks in 2014. So bringing Brian Keefe back and then some shuffling around and promotion of for some other positions. You get Mike Wilkes, who was a scout for the Thunder for 7 years and a former Thunder player. He's going to be the second Thunder player to ever become a coach or an assistant coach with the Thunder. He's a guy who has a family here. And it's easier, presumably easy. Not even presumably. I know this because I talked to him briefly. But it should be a better schedule for him being here, not having to bounce around. The scouting world's rough. You're on the road a lot, and you're on the road a lot when you're an assistant coach too. But not as much as scouts. Scouts are on the road a ton. And then you get Dave Bliss, who was the Thunder's summer league coach. Not that Dave Bliss, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to address this. Eventually, I will write a story about he's not that Dave Bliss. But Dave Bliss, who was in the Baylor scandal, is not the Dave Bliss that's on the Thunder staff. The Dave Bliss on the Thunder staff is a large, great, cool, normal, not scandalous human being. This guy has been a player development coach in the league for quite some time now. He's in his second stint with the Thunder. He's worked with the Knicks, with Kristaps Porzingis. He's one of the stars in the business in terms of rising through the ranks, and the Thunder gave him an opportunity to coach their summer league team this summer.
Had the first successful challenge in NBA history.
He's ahead of the game already. Bright guy. People say great things about him all over the place. And no, he is not connected to Baylor. The Thunder is not out here hiring guys who are implicated in murder cover-ups. Dave Bliss is not on his hands, folks. This is a different Dave Bliss. And yes, he has every right to use that name because
that's his name.
It's his name. Okay? He should go by David. No, you know what he should go by? The name that he wants to go by. Okay?
And then two guys from the Blue. Are you leaving me to...
Yeah, you can say Akinyuye's. I think that's how you say it, Akinyuye. David Akinyuye. He's David. Maybe you should switch with Dave. Maybe it should be Dave Akinyuye and David to be David Bliss. Yeah.
Perfect.
I think it's Akinyuye. I looked at the pronunciation a couple of times, so you don't have to say it. But he's a guy who has the Spurs experience. He was a player development coach with the Spurs. He's been with the Blue for 4 seasons. And it just kind of follows in the tradition of what the Thunder's done. Like, Brian Keefe was a guy who was a player development coach first, and he got promoted to an assistant coach. Dave Bliss, same way, player development, promoted to an assistant coach, and David Akinyuye is going to be one of those guys as well. And then Mark Dagnall,
who has coached the Blue for, what, like 4 years now?
I think it's 5 years, actually.
So, longtime Blue coach, has implemented a very similar system to the Thunder's down with the Blue, and I mean, also, we just named, what, 5 people?
They have a ton of assistant coaches.
And they had three guys leave. So we're up two assistants.
They got a ton of assistants. They're not all going to be able to sit on the front row. So it's going to be interesting to see which ones are actually the front row coaches this year. I mean, I'd imagine Brian Keefe probably will be. You still got Mo Cheeks and Vinny, who were left over from last year, and then Billy Schmidt was a quality control guy. But it'll be interesting to see who those couple of coaches are that are going to be on the front of the bench now, you know, replacing Mark Bryant, replacing Darko Radjakovic, who was one of the front guys, and he went to the Phoenix as well, and Bob Beyer. Those were all three, you know, front row guys who were important to Billy Donovan. And but you know, this kind of speaks to the Thunder promoting guys from within, and you know, giving these guys opportunities to progress in their career. Hallie, you're next. You're next to get promoted to the Thunder.
I'm honored. No, of course, you all can speak on this a lot more than I can, just with you all covering the Thunder regularly and knowing more about these coaches. But I think it sounds like they've got a lot of good coaching talent moving up. So I think that'll hopefully, for them, would help with the rebuild too, maybe bringing in some new coaching talent as they're developing some new younger guys too.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's a nice parallel that as they're developing new players, you're getting... Actually, that makes sense why you'd bring development guys up, but let's see. What else should we talk about? Should we get to learn more about Hallie? Do we have more Thunder news?
Hallie, we'll give you... Let's see. We'll give you 5 minutes, Hallie, to share your wealth of knowledge and experience that you went through in this summer internship.
Oh, wow. So just... what I've done so far, just kind of a brief of synopsis, or
maybe we'll cut in here and there. But what would you say has been a highlight for you this summer? We get a summer intern. For those who don't know, we get a summer intern every year, and we have them just doing all kinds of different things, all kinds of sports throughout the summer. And Hallie's been the one for us this year, and we typically end up getting somebody from Oklahoma State because they have a great, you know, journalism department, and Hallie has represented her school well, I thought.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I would say my favorite part so far has honestly just been working with all the people here and learning so much. I know I'm sentimental now. I don't have that much time left here, but I feel like it's just been really great to work with different people and work in different areas, because I'm used to, during the school year, covering Oklahoma State teams, which of course I love covering those teams. It's really enjoyable, but I think this internship has really helped me as far as broadening my knowledge of kind of different teams and different assignments, whether it's been the OKC Dodgers games have been super fun. Covering the Big Three with you all was really fun. So I've enjoyed that. I wrote a story about babies named after Baker Mayfield. I covered a rodeo and a noodling tournament. So just like the variety of events has been really cool. And then also the people, I mean, you all, and of course, Ryan and Jeff, the editors, have been great. Jacob has been so helpful with the Dodgers. Cameron Jordan, being someone I worked with at OSU, it's awesome to see the work that he's doing here. And of course, Barry and Jenny. I know there's so many people that I'm sure I'm leaving out here, but really I feel like everyone has kind of their unique perspective to offer and something that I can take away, whether it's kind of writing more conversationally is something Jenny's taught me about. Joe's taught me great stuff about pitching story ideas. So I think just learning kind of those things that I can take away and hopefully become a better journalist for them, and then tell people I covered like noodling tournaments and Baker Mayfield babies and all those random things too.
And you taught me what noodling was.
Noodling. We're not going to get into the ins and outs of noodling. I'm sure our podcast listeners probably don't want to hear that.
We don't need to. There was a fish my size. That's all I need to say. But yeah, not ins and outs of noodling on the Thunder Buddies podcast.
Hallie's a small human. For anybody who doesn't have a visual, Hallie's a small human. So when she says a fish her size, it's not like
a three.
Yeah, it's not like a killer whale or anything like that. I mean, it's just, you know, it's a large catfish.
But in comparison to others, like other catfish, it was still
okay. It was still a pretty big catfish.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
I'm not that small of a human. I'm sorry, I'm insulting people now. I need to leave. I think that's about it. I think we can wrap it up.
Well, thank you so much again for having me on here. That's another thing I can add now to my varied experiences.
Add it to your resume.
Is the Thunder Buddies. I got to be a third, I guess, since Barry's not here today. Third Thunder Buddy for the day.
Just post the link on your resume to anybody you send things to, and they'll be like, oh my God, we are not going to hire her. The podcast is terrible. It's named Thunder Buddies.
Stop giving people ideas for the comments.
All they want to do is talk about Billy Donovan. He's terrible. That's all they want to do.
And Russell Westbrook.
And noodling.
I thought that was very informative.
I mean, I don't know. If you're trying to get a job out there in the country or something like that, they might think the noodling part's pretty cool. They might be like, oh, yeah, we'll hire her. She's noodled.
It has been super fun still getting to keep up with the OSU teams this summer, too, because they've had some cool stuff with, like, Isaac Likely playing in the World Cup tournament and everything. So that's been fun, too. A little bit of everything.
You've done good work, Hallie. And
thank you.
Thanks for putting up with our nonsense, too.
It was fun. I've enjoyed it. It's entertaining, for sure.
All right, folks. We'll be back next week sometime. Talk a little bit more about what's coming up for the Thunder. You know, we're not very far removed, we're not very far from the schedule coming out, probably in the next couple of weeks, probably like early August. So, probably second week of August. So, we will definitely podcast about that in a couple of weeks. And then I'm writing a story this weekend on season tickets and how the Thunder is going to be affected by that, if they'll even be affected by that into the season coming up. And we'll probably discuss that next week, too. But other than that, thanks for joining us. Thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading and sharing on Apple Podcasts. And we will see you next.